Online, bless the name of the Lord. Shabbat the name of the Lord. Inside, outside, online, lift your voice and let the heavens hear you. Benoko ziba lete bekabalata. Beruna kebaroto sevele marada kabalata. Inside, outside, online, anywhere you are, let the angels hear you. Can you not Shabbat the Lord? Can you not lift up your voice and let your cries be heard tonight? I have not come to seek God in vain. He has not called the seed of Jacob that we might seek him in vain. Go ahead, Anakazo, go ahead. Then the Kebo Koba Kabaladima. Marian the Koba Piatesama. Keboro Jesina Mande Kabaradana. Ayana Mam Pero de Pa. Endless prayer and my endless expectation that soldiers, just like our pastor has said, will be raised in this cave of Adullam. Righteous men shall rise and shall be stand across different stratas representing the kingdom. The kingdom. I welcome you to an Anakazo tonight on behalf of the apostle. Please put your hands together and you might be seated. Hallelujah. Inside and outside, and online. On behalf of Apostle Emmanuel Effa, I'd like to welcome us to an Anakazo experience. And it's on the same privilege I'd like to bring to us an epistle of the mission statement written by our beloved Apostle. So as you listen, it's my endless prayer that the Lord would brood it upon your heart and cause you to align with what is happening here. Hallelujah. Calvary greetings. I am delighted to welcome you to an Anakazo experience, an inclusive non-denominational ministry based in Kaduna State, Nigeria. Our community is built around three essential missions, all of which are dedicated to fostering spiritual growth and strengthening the bond of our unity in faith. First, we are committed to nurturing individuals into becoming spiritual watchmen, saviors and deliverers of their families and territories, according to Obadiah 1:21. To accomplish this, we have established various apostolic centers designed to enlighten believers about their divine ordination and the imperative to manifest God's glory. Second, we aim to bring the speed and settlement of God to his people, drawing on Isaiah chapter 60 verse 22. We deliver systemic teachings of God's word, illuminating its hidden wisdom to foster spiritual advancement and personal growth for our precious saints. Thirdly, we stand firm against the spirit of confusion and their territorial influence. We uphold the doctrines of the early apostles and advocate sound biblical teachings, thus providing a fortification against falsehood and deceptive teachings. Our community gather every Thursday, every Tuesday and Friday at 5 p.m. for revival and encounter services at Habakkuk Hall, located at number 48 and 49 Chiroma Street, Television, Kaduna. On behalf of the set man of God, the apostle over this mandate, it is my honor to warmly invite you to join us as we worship, learn and grow together in the spirit of unity and faith. We look forward to welcoming you to an Anakazo Mission International as we journey together in spirit and in truth. Yours in Christ, Apostle Emmanuel Effa. Please, believing that, put your hands together and join me on your feet. Kindly join me on your feet as you begin to give God glory inside and outside. Join us on your feet and begin to bless God for this mandate. Celebrate Jesus everywhere you are. Lift your voice and let the angels hear you. Bless God again for Anakazo Mission International. Our online viewers, you can join us celebrating God for this amazing mandate that is set to raise lives across nations in Africa and across nations of the world. Let the angels hear you as you lift up that cry. It is not a personal supplication, it's a supplication for this mandate. So lift your voice and let the heavens hear you.
Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands to Jesus and say something sweet to him tonight? Lord, we worship you. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. My life will give you glory. My spirit will give you glory. My life will give you glory. My spirit will give you honor. My life will give you glory. My spirit will give you honor. Jesus.
My life will give you glory, yeah. To show us something 2 weeks back, and for the sake of the burden that arrested our vocal cords last week, we could not continue on that voyage. I began to teach on the subject of the opening of gates 2 weeks back, and I was not able to exhaust the content of that particular teaching because time was not on our side. And so I promised us that we would finalize it. Last week I came attempting to see if we could journey that path, but the Lord was echoing something different and we yielded to the burden for the season, and so we didn't have the chance to look upon that subject matter last week. But by the grace of God, I believe clearance has been given to us to do justice to this subject today. The opening of gates, if you are writing. A gate is a movable barrier installed to close an opening, used as a passage into or out of an enclosure. I'll take it step by step now. A gate is a movable barrier. It is a barrier, quite all right, but it is movable. So everywhere you see a gate, it means that it can either be an access point or an exit point. A gate means that all of these other parts of the building, they can be immovable, but this one, you can enter through this side. It means that a man can continue to touch the fence. Just imagine if you are in a place where the whole light is put off and you needed to use your sense of feeling. You know, most of the times, we resolve to the use of that sense every time we have no ability to use our eyes. In other words, when light is withdrawn from a space and you cannot see, you enter into imaginary mode immediately and you begin to use your sense of feeling. For instance, have you been in your own room that you knew before, the room you arranged by yourself, and then it happened that there was no light and it was dark and you couldn't see anything? You have to start trusting your sense of feeling, number one, and number two, you have to use your imagination to remember where everything was kept. Amen. You knew Even without, you didn't need to plead the blood of Jesus. You just walked by faith. You knew if you took four steps, you need to wait, or your head will hit a wall. And immediately you took the fourth step, you used your hand to feel whether the wall you are suspecting is around there. And through to it, you felt a wall. You knew that if you move too much with haste, you can hit your leg in one very, you know, those Hamatan period when you hit your leg in small thing, it will lead to tongue. I have seen ungodly men speaking in tongues. The pain is too much. The pain, as they hit, they say something. You know, everybody must speak in tongues. Some people will speak their tongues in hell. When they enter hell, the things of it is equivalent to a lifetime of tonguing. I know a man. His own tongue is out of pleasure. When something sweets him so much, he will make a sound. If he sips, he keeps a mustache. He doesn't grow this goatee. He only grows the mustache. He grows the mustache. He's so full. So when he drinks Gouda, the foam from the Gouda will now be on the mustache. Like, then he will now release a tongue. Tap the person by your side. Say, "Are you speaking?" Everybody must speak. Amen. So we are talking about the opening of gates. This is exactly the predicament that God's people have found themselves. Many of us are shadow boxing because we don't have answers. Tomorrow is not given to us. We don't know what the future holds. So we are like a person walking inside darkness, only trusting their sense of feeling. We are trying to see where is the way out of this season of delay. So we don't have any particular information guaranteeing us that on the 12th of so month, everything will turn around. It's like somebody doing the same thing, waking up in the morning, still go and open that shop. Tomorrow, waking up again, still go and open that shop. What is it counting on? That one day, this same formula that has not been working, that one day, something supernatural will happen, and I will hit it well in this business. It is the equivalent to what I'm sharing, like a man walking in darkness, only using his sense of feeling, hoping that by a superior finger, something can be tilted to his favor. You have been doing this same routine for nothing, for some people, for nothing less than 7 years. They open the shop at the same time. Every day, 6 a.m., faithful to it. The shop is open. They pray in tongues before they open it. After a while, when the devil wants to discourage you, he reminds you of all your labor, the routine, and say, "If this thing is working, why is it like this?" You know, I have good news for you. The whole world lieth in wickedness. And on the strength of that wickedness, man is actually shadow boxing. He's looking for a way that he does not have any level of assurance about. You know, the advantage of what I'm sharing with you this night, if you refuse to be distracted and you pay attention, you will catch something very soon. See, it will look exact, the day your breakthrough will come, it will be exactly like the other days. When you wake up in the morning, there will be no unique feeling. It will be a normal day. You woke up and wore that normal shirt. You, unknown to you, it is today that the prisoner that they released many years ago will remember you. Suddenly, Joseph will continue to wake up morning after morning, day after day, but a particular day will come when a challenge will be in the house of the king, and the person who must remember you for your gate to open so that your season can change. Suddenly, like I'm telling you, listen, this one is not in your hand. You can't control it. Because the factors, listen, this gate we speak about, you don't have the key. The gate is being opened from outside. It says knock. It didn't say knock and open the door. It says knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So you are not the one to open it. You don't have the capacity to exit seasons by yourself. Every gate has a gatekeeper. Every gate has a custodian that guard the people who exit or enter. And there are protocols that they make sure your life comply with before you can enter or exit. You can remain there complaining as far as those protocols are not captured within the frame of your walk with God. You are not qualified to leave that level yet. Listen, many doors don't answer to tears. Specific keys open doors. And when you are void of those keys, roll on the ground, do anything you like. In fact, go and be lobbying people. You will be amazed. After chasing people here and there, when it is time for a change of season, a man who does not go through all that trouble, suddenly he is the one. Listen, there is an accurate way to predict the change of seasons. You are here, you feel like you have tarried in one realm for too long. You feel like you are due for a change of season. And you feel like you are stuck in a particular level of life that you know you are supposed to have gone past. And you have tried everything humanly possible to exit those experiences. And it's proving like it's a season that refused to leave you. Tonight's meeting is for you. The gate is a sensitive place. Nobody accuses you until you come to the gate. Nobody asks you who you are until you come to the gate. You will speak and nobody will question you until you come to the gate. Even God came to the gate and said, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door." The gate answered God and say, "Who is this King of Glory that we should lift?" Dice, they will check your credentials. They will check, do you have capacity to command the change you are asking for? Gates don't respond to your shout. Gates don't respond to tears. Gates respond to particular protocols. Who is this King of Glory? God needed to read his CV out for gates. He says, "The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory." God answered the gate. Who are you to be quiet and think, it is during the period of exiting and transiting from one realm to another, from one season to another, that's when accusations become potent. Nobody will accuse you more than the season when you are about to change level. That is when all your fault, everything. In that day where they opened files and there were many people's names, and they say, "What about this name? What about Chidima?" That's when everything about Chidima that nobody was talking about is that day they want to talk about it. So look at this lady's qualification. She looks like the candidate we're looking for. Then one gatekeeper, an evil one, there will say, "But have you considered the place where she came from?" You know, in the day where people are deliberating your lifting, you will not be there. There are many things that would bless your life forever. When it is planning, when it is cooking, when the thing is being in motion, you will not know. This is why you will need to draw all the keys, all the laws necessary to be at your favor. Sometimes you will be sleeping and keys will be working for you. Somebody will be awake somewhere doing something that will make your next day glorious, and you will not know. I repeat it again. You will go to bed normal the way you always go to bed and wake up one morning, one of these days, and your seasons will change forever. Who would have told Joseph that night he slept in that dungeon was the last night? This is the same thing you have done for many years, over and over. You are now used to it. But on a certain day, no sign, no particular physical sign, but the king's house needed him. And there was nothing to show for it. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Who saw it coming? Nobody. It's like many of you sitting here now quietly, you are looking at your life, no advantage, nothing to count on and say, "Okay, with this one I have hope." Listen, Your hope is not supposed to be in the arm of the flesh. The Bible says, woe to them whose hope is in the arm of the flesh. I want somebody to pray one prayer in the next 30 seconds. Lord, let my light come. And take this night season away. Take this night away. Let my light come. I know I am undermined. I know I am looked down on. I know nobody thinks much of me. But I also know I will not remain like this forever. I know great people don't rise from where I came from. I know the factors, they are all stacked against me. But I know that my life will be a testimony. When I know or when I don't know, anywhere my name is mentioned, anytime the gates begins to shake and agitate for my move, a great and effectual door has been opened, but there are adversaries. Listen, for some families represented here, many of you don't know why God gathers us in apostolic platforms like this. For some families represented here, there are ancient gates nobody moves past. You can be successfully going from one gate to another until you come to that one. Then you meet all your ancestors waiting there. Nobody ever went past that place. Everybody's progress, everybody's hard work, there is one gate they could not go beyond. If you are here and you can tell, because if you have paid attention, you'll be able to draw out patterns, storylines from your bloodline. You can tell certain narrative that is consistent with the people from your background. You can see that people can live, they can live until they hit 40. Then they begin to sick. They begin to get into all kinds of sickness. And then they die between 40 and 45. Everybody having that storyline. You are approaching 40. And you just think that everything is going to work for you. There are gates. Everybody goes to school. Everybody works hard. Everybody graduates. Nobody gets a good job. Nobody uses the certificate. Now you are number 5. Coming in that same road. What about the 4 people before you? Do you think they were lazy? Do you think they don't have understanding? There are gates. Hi. You must be violent this night. There is a need to shatter gates. There are certain gates they will refuse to answer to keys. You must scatter them. Let me show you a prayer. Let me show you a prayer you should pray now. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 2. Isaiah 45 verse 2. I am so excited for somebody. Everybody, let's read as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. Listen, every time they want to initiate a hindrance, a stumbling block, they raise gates of brass against families. They say this type of gates, they don't answer to keys. You must break them. You must scatter them. Where is that demonic gate? That demonic gate of sickness. Demonic gate. Demonic gate of death. Demonic gate. Demonic gate of poverty. Demonic gate. Demonic gate of penury. Demonic gate. Demonic gate of delay. The worship team got it. They got it right at the spot. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Amen. Please, just sing only that part. Sing it.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty.
I see a lot of people crying. I see a lot of people crying. I see a lot of people crying. They are tired. They are tired of oppression, tired of captivity. An ancient gate must open. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listen. Listen, please give me your attention if you can. They know that gates are vocal. Gates will question your identity. Gates will probe you. Gates are systems of vetting the identity of a person before they enter or exit a space. This is why a gate was designed. They know the gate will vet you. So they say, the person who has come is the King of Glory. Is the Lord, strong and mighty. This is why you did not come on your own. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You came in the name of Jesus, the Lord, strong and mighty.
Sing. I don't know if the keyboardist will be old enough to pick it. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. Oh, that man would praise the Lord. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, to the children of men. He has broken the gates of wrath and cut the bars of fire.
The song says,
he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. The Lord that answered by fire.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. We have a journey ahead of us. I began to teach also last week that gates, they don't only respond to individuals like identities. they also respond to atmospheres. And I began to share the way atmospheres work in the realm of the spirit. An atmosphere is like an aura you carry. An atmosphere is like a perfume, your own scent. You know, even though you don't use a perfume, every human being has a unique scent. If you take your clothes, and if you have brothers or siblings, you will know the smell of particular siblings. You know what it smells like anytime they wear a clothes. Everybody has an aura. Now, in the world of spirits, everybody also have an aura. And a majority of the result around your life is powered by your aura. And when you want to adjust what kind of scent, if you want to change your perfume spiritually, you want to wear something more royal, there are keys you employ. You know, the way you dress physically, and you know that your dressing is not complete until you have created a pseudo atmosphere that can announce your presence before people know you are around. There are certain perfumes you will wear, and when you stand by that door, people will say, "International is around." Your aura can travel ahead of you. Your aura in the world of spirit is like your reputation. Your reputation is like your protocol officer. It is always ahead, opening the door before you reach there. Your aura can go ahead of you. I began to show us last 2 weeks that this is exactly what Isaac did to his son, Jacob. He thought he was doing it to Esau. He didn't know he was deceived. He looked at Jacob, although it was the wrong son, but when he took that thing, it was binding. It was Esau that he wanted to give that thing to. So, let me ask you a question. If you want to say it is because of the natural smell, maybe the guy is always smelling like that, that's why he said it is not like a blessing. Now, the person he was perceiving, it was Jacob he was perceiving. It was Esau that was doing livestock business. Now, this thing now went into a portion where he came near the guy and said, "The smell of my son is like the scent of a land that the Lord God has blessed." Esau came back and was crying. Jacob did not take any single sheep out of the house. He didn't carry any gold, any silver. He took only a staff. Yet Esau was crying that they have cheated him. And it was the Esau that stayed at home and inherited all the land, all the sheep, all the cattle, everything is only him. He was still crying. Because only him knows what true blessing is. It's not property. It is an aura. This guy left home with an aura. His father said, "The smell of my son is like the scent of his field that the Lord God has blessed." Anywhere that young man went to, people were willing to commit their investment into his hand and say, "Manage it for me. I have found out that anything you put your hands to do is blessed." Auras. Your aura will do more work for you than your certificate. No, it's not a prayer. It's not a prayer. Your aura will do more for you than your hard work and your effort. While you are sleeping, your aura is working. There are people doors cannot say no to. The moment they say no vacancy, you lose your peace. There is something about them that arrests your soul. Suddenly they turn their back and you begin to feel restless. The person only turned his back. He took 4 steps and you say, come. No, you there, come. The same you that said go back to everybody, there is a person you cannot say no to. He came with an air. You know, there are men alive. They are custodian of the key of David. They can open doors that men cannot close. You can be an enemy. They will come to you. You will still bless them. It's when they leave, you will now say, "I don't even know why I helped this person." There is an energy they carry you must bow to. It's called auras. It is an aura the Holy Spirit will tilt in your life. He will use an aura to sign a signature of his presence in your life. He will make your sermon very brief because a majority of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost through your life will be stamped on that aura. People will sit down near you and start crying. You have not said anything. There is an atmosphere that arrested them. You will stay like this. You didn't introduce yourself as pastor. You are just lost in the multitude. And the people around you will begin to confess their sins. Say, Kai, all these things that we are doing, there is nothing inside myself. Anytime I start hearing that, I know it's my aura. It's my aura. This brother does not intend to confess today. See, imagine somebody who is holding a bottle. He's not telling you, wait till even day this drink, where would you drink myself? It's an aura. Something had told him, Oga, sit down. Calm down. Listen. You know what Abraham left behind in Bethel is an aura. That aura arrested his grandson to an extent that Jacob was running from home, from Esau, and came to a particular space. And that space was powerful enough to suggest to him, rest here, spend your night here. He took one of the stones he saw lying down carelessly in that ground, not knowing that it's part of the rune stones of the altar his grandfather built. And he put his head upon it like a pillow in the night. And in the night, the heavens opened. He saw that the place he was sleeping was the gate of heaven. You can't separate gates from auras. Every time there is a gate, there is a portal, an active portal. There is traffic going on. Many of you sitting here, spirits have exploited this technology to create an ungodly narrative around your life. People just continue to suspect you for no reason. People continue to misunderstand you. Everybody hates you. And you are now beginning to build your life around that concept of one-man army. You cannot do everything by yourself. You will need the favor of the Lord this night. Listen, the same way people can carry fragrances of royalty, that anywhere they find themselves, human beings are willing, they don't know them from anywhere, they are willing to be under them. There are people, anywhere they are, they must be leaders. They don't need to say, I want to. People will just say, please sir, can you write our names? like that, they have started calling them leader. They just enter the class with everybody. I thank God we wear uniform in Nigeria. Now, people are with uniform, looking the same, but people's aura begin to differentiate them. For no reason, you don't know this one from anywhere. People just stay together. More than 5-7 people say, please, sir, can you be the one to write our names? And then you think again, Lord, why me? There is an aura of royalty. You cannot hide it. This is what the righteousness of the righteous lives for their children. This is the kind of inheritance they live. The reason why the children of the righteous cannot beg for bread is because the inheritance that a good man leaves for his children is not money in the bank account, is a rich aura. You will go and write tests with those kind of children and they will dust you. And it's not because of their labor. There is a generation that paid the price, that God is willing to pay other generations so that he can be fair. The things I'm sharing with you, it will be like a joke. Until you begin to pay attention to details, then you will see that there are different signatures on different people's head. There are things you can never outsmart them in. Leave it. Don't rest quickly. The only time you can outsmart them in those things is if they allow you. But any day they wield their scepter, you must be at their back. It's an aura. There's something on their head, something that powers that result. And most of the time, like I said, it's a track record of righteousness that has allowed that reality flowed into another generation. There are children here that will be blessed even though they are living in sin, because God is still trying to pay the debt you owe their father. Solomon will depart from the way of the Lord, and God will say, because of David, my servant. Because of David. Where is David? He is dead. This is why your righteousness is not for you alone. Neither is your sin for you alone. When you sin, you are also creating a negative cloud around an innocent generation that have no business being a part of your ungodly acts. Jesus. Atmosphere. Shift now the chain.
break now. Holy Spirit,
in case I was speaking and you were thinking about your life and you are remembering one negative aura, one negative signature that is ruining things around your life, it is because of you I raised that song. Atmospheres shift now. Go. There are people here, there is an aura of shame around them. Every season of their life, they must be in servitude, they must be in distress, and they must always be at the beck and call of men. They will try and say, it's a new beginning. This one, I will try. The next thing they will see themselves in again. They are back to be a servant.
Atmosphere shift now. The chains be broken. Break now. Holy Spirit, come now. Heaven's open. Heaven's open.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9.
Nina kawo uyapo. Nina kawo uyapo. Kaine serkin salama. Kaine serkin salama. Nakawo Godiagare ha, Nakawo Godiagare ha, Kene serki salama, Kene serki salama.
Songs I sing this night, they are prophetic. They are seasons opening for people. For a great door, it is effectual, it is durable, is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries with that gate. The place where enemies camp is the gate. Listen, during war, during siege over cities, the first area of access is the gate of the city. They want to break it so that they can enter from that spot. The place where enemies' attention are camped is the gate. That is the point of your transition. Lord, when would you remember me? And there are many enemies. All this while they never showed up. All of your record of iniquity that was documented in the archive of darkness, suddenly they retrieve their scripts and their documents and begin to come to the courts of Zion with strong reasons why the word of the Lord should not come to pass in your life. Suddenly, the woman is saying, Lord, when would you remember me and give me the fruit of the womb? They came and said, Adonai, remember you are a just God. You know, if you know where gates speak, they are lawyers, they are holders, interpreters of laws. They come with strong reasons. They first come and they obey the protocol of heaven because they know the space. They say, great and mighty God, who is like you? the foundation of your throne is righteousness and justice. Because they want to accuse the Son of Light, so they will hail God as a just God. It is because of matters like this so that man will not be lost forever. That is why another economy called mercy was secured and kept by the side. So that in the day where judgment must be given against you, God can choose to say, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will not explain my mercy. So there is an accommodation near the judgment seat. It's called the mercy seat. Anytime you are coming before God, and you know, this is why spiritual intelligence must be taught. Don't come claiming right. Don't come self-righteous. Appeal to that mercy seat, and the enemy will have no case on you. When you come and you say, Lord, you know me from my youth. I have been faithful. I have kept my vow. I have prayed non-stop for 21 days. As you are talking, they have a more superior argument on you. There are matters stronger than all of your efforts. Matters more weighty in the course of it. See, when eternity measures all your action into their consideration, sometimes it is lost, it's not seen. So when you come, the first thing you cry for, have mercy upon me, O God. Hi, God cannot turn his back on that man. Now, this is a man that has done everything in his own capacity. He will call himself a righteous man within the fold of men. But when he advanced before the courts of Zion, he says, have mercy upon me. You know what Isaiah did? Isaiah was a major prophet, an accurate voice of his time. But in the day that King Uzziah died, he caught a glimpse of the court sessions of heaven. And he was given the privilege to participate momentarily. Suddenly, he began to cry, I am unclean. I am unclean. Do you know the consciousness he entered? He came into a consciousness of the layers of accusations that were written against his name. And he knew that he cannot stand if it is by righteousness in that space. So he began to quickly cry, the state of his helplessness. But among men, he was a cherub. I am unclean. And they heard him. They heard the cry of a broken man. A broken and a contrite spirit. Even God cannot despise. Listen, when you have tried all this, you see, you cannot blackmail God emotionally. Lord, I have prayed. If you answer, fine. If you don't answer, you are still God. It's only your husband you can be doing that thing to, that it will work. God can see through you. He knows what you are doing. A great and effectual door has been opened. But there are adversaries. There are enemies at the gates. The same reason why other people have not been able to find easy movement. Huh. You see, my challenge with what I'm doing now is that I have not even gone past what I said I wanted to now complete. Let's run religiously and see if, because I will not come back to this teaching. Kaine sarkin salama. Sarkin salama. Kaine sarkin salama.
Sarkin salama.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. You see, the problem with... I know utterance will leave me if I want to stick to script. When the Spirit is emphasizing on a matter and you want to insist on your own script and say we have a plan, The sign they'll give you is that they'll withdraw utterance from you momentarily, so that you will stand on your own briefly. Then if you cry for mercy quickly, they'll say, are you ready to go back to that? Let's pray for 1 minute wherever we are. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our God. When the arm of flesh will fail them, we will still be standing strong, cause we trust
in the name of the Lord.
Exactly at the point where I was teaching us three ways to open doors. And I started number one as transformation, which is what I was trying to exhaust this evening. And so we'll quickly run through the others. I will not have sufficient time to do justice to this point, but I will give it to you and trust the Holy Ghost that He will breathe His life upon them. Number two, about ways to open doors. Number two is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You will be amazed the wonder-working power of thanksgiving. The most natural thing to do when things are not working is to complain. The most natural thing to do when things are getting out of hand is to become worried. The most natural thing to do when your expectations are not coming the way you want is to begin to feel discouraged. And every time you are responding to the way things are going around your life, you are missing out of a very important spiritual posture. It's called thanksgiving. Let me show you a scripture that will shock you. Very quickly. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Let's read together, 1, 2, go. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Let your request. So although you are praying, and your prayer is in the sense of supplication, they say the way to present that prayer is as thanksgiving. Let me show you how to do it. Come, both of you, quickly. Come. This brother needs school fees. This brother needs school fees. This one goes to the place of prayer. Lord, I thank you for waking me up today. Don't forget the school fees thing we talk about. I've not seen it yet. Please, I thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know that's how we pray. Because we don't know who else. If let the Holy Spirit not say I didn't talk to him. So they will now mention his name. This is how to pray. You pray to the Father, through Jesus in the Holy Ghost. You don't need to say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost in order to capture their essence into your prayer. You are conscious that your prayer is inspired of the Spirit. So it is the Spirit that helpeth us make intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. That is His duty. Now, the whole of this prayer is through Jesus our Lord. Because without Jesus, God cannot hear you. This is why we come in the name of Jesus. There's only one way. This one wakes up and says, Father, this guy on the other hand, he gets up, his heart is weighty, exam timetable is out, they are threatened that some people who have not paid will not write exam. Early morning, he gets up, when it is time to complain, when it is time to remind God of the things he has not done, the first thing he starts with, I thank you for life. Thank you that I am counted among the living. There are many things you have done for me. I don't have sufficient vocabulary to appreciate you enough. Father, I am grateful. See, as you are speaking, the Bible says, while you speak, before you have said it, God has heard you. It is the state of this person's heart that attracts God to him. This other person too, it is his anxiousness that keeps God away. Because he thinks that it is in his much speaking that God will hear him. And he thinks that it is by the level of emotion he puts and roll on the ground. And those things don't move God. Listen, the Message translation says, enter into his presence with the password, thank you. Thank you is the password. Thank you. This guy has not asked for school fees yet. He has thanked God for life. He now says, Lord, I thank you for all the school fee you have provided till this time. You who have done it, I know you cannot fail me this time. He had presented a request, but he presented it as thanksgiving. This is how believers pray. Believers count their blessings. They name them one by one. Then inside the midst of that blessing, they remind God that you cannot fail. Gentiles, they forget everything their God have done for them. Every time they come before their God, it's another drama. A Gentile has no relationship with his God. He doesn't want to know his God. He only wants to keep a contract. When Gentiles go to strike bargains with their altars, they say, bring a fowl, bring a goat, bring this. As long as he's able to meet his own side, he has confidence that the God should perform. This is how many of us approach God. You know, there's a way you become so arrogant. So arrogant. You now start giving God deadline. Between now and Friday, oh God. Why you are busy being agitated? This one is busy chanting the names of God. Were you not the one that provided last year when I didn't have anybody to look out for me? How did you even provide it last year? Till today, I don't know. This God, you need worship. Then he calls God another name. See, you will be amazed. Before 12 o'clock that day, this one's school fees has been paid. This one will still be in the school of the Spirit, learning. He will be learning long suffering. You can move that mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Very quickly, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says, if thy cloud be full of rain, they will empty themselves. Listen, everybody, don't think, just look at me. Look at me. See, the scripture says, if thine cloud be full of rain, they will empty themselves. That scripture is a response to a dry land that is in need of rain, in need of the visitation of heaven. They say the way you will get your rain is that your cloud must be full of that same thing you are looking for. How does the cloud get full of rain? Please, somebody say evaporation. There are other means where water leaves the earth, but I will use evaporation as the scope to teach this kingdom truth. The water that heaven will give to the earth was once on the earth. Do you understand what I want to say now? That water that fell as rain, it was once on the surface. Some of it evaporated from the surface of rivers. Some of it evaporated from the surface of dry land. And evaporation was going on. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
The process where water leaves plants, I think it's transpiration. Everything that has water is given a portion. Because that plant must lose water to receive water. It's like a plant sowed a seed. He casted his bread upon the waters because he wants to find it after many days. Anything you are asking God for, God will occasion a season that will give your life the capacity to handle a bit of that thing. So that if you are wise, you will recognize the difference between a seed and a harvest. Many people eat their seeds. The plant is waiting for water, but the plant will lose water. They will give the heaven water until the cloud becomes full of rain. Then it will empty itself. Go and look for any serious-minded farmer with results. The moment they harvest, they put aside a portion. This one is for planting. No matter how hungry we are, we will not eat it. They leave, in fact, they choose the best because they want to go and multiply it. Many of us, the seeds of our season of the rain came and we ate it. Let me share something with you. Look at me. I tell you this as a brother that loves you dearly. Can I say this thing? You will be praying to God and asking God for something. God will play his role as regarding bringing you into that thing. Then they will leave a small part that is your own place so that the earth can have a record of your own labor inside this thing. So that it is not totally through a helpless occurrence that you cannot actually talk about that it happened. They will create a small role for you to play inside. Then that small role, they will give you the capacity to play it. This is where many people betray their destiny. For years, I will work in Mission Academy in Angwan Romi here. And they will pay me a very meager little salary. And it was all for the rent of the hall. Because we were not taking any offering. When I come to pay that rent in that hall then, the salary will not still be enough. So I was working for the rent. The heaven were watching whether I am interested in this assignment the way they are interested. So for that season, anything that entered my hand is a seed. I can decide to start buying clothes. I remember then some group of brethren came to meet me and say, this particular shoe you are wearing, please. I had one shiny shoe like that with one butterfly something on top. How many of you remember? I wore it back to back and the glory of God was on the shoe. It was not getting old. It was growing with me. When I wear it and I come on Friday, you would. I can't tell you what I want to tell you. let me try. Look at me. The word of the Lord came to us. He says, this sanctuary that we are speaking about, He will build it for us, and no man will take the glory. So I now rested in that promise. He now started drawing our attention that, but it is time to move to a more larger space, because momentarily we need a solution to this predicament of, you know, all of this effect of the weather on our congregation. So we started looking for a space. So we found spaces, and some of these people will be my witness. In fact, there's a place we went to, and the rent that they told us is 39 million. Somebody shouted. If you are here that day, raise your hand above your head. See my witness. See that. 39 million for a year is rent. Yes, now I say rent, you say rent. So, we now got offended and said, favor is not in this place. We moved and went to another space. And these are the only available space that can contain what God wants to do. So when the people say, if we are going to talk, we must have nothing less than 11 million first before we can start talking. Now, that is only for rent for the hall, just for 1 year. So we went back and started trusting the Lord and said, Lord, so what do we do in a season like this now? Please whisper to somebody by your side. God will test you. You see, there is one car I have been dreaming of. there's one car I have imagined that if I have this one, my missionary trips will be done with so much stresslessness and Jesus will be glorified. I was trying to convince God that, you know, that this is not lost. It's for the sake of the gospel we need this thing. He didn't answer me. Until a demand for shifting came. Then God brought that car for me. Now, listen. You see, when God brought the car, Before I will even say this or that, or even touch anything, the instruction came into my soul. He said, this is a seed. So in order not to, because if you want to obey God, obey quickly. If you start thinking about the thing, you will start having stronger heart about the thing. Quick, as the thing just comes, don't obey quickly, then go and regret later. So I made some call quickly, and then they sold the car, and they sold it cheaper than its market value. Huh? If you are with me, say amen. Amen. Mind you, the car I'm talking about is an SUV. It's the plan that I had. With this one, my trips will be stressless. You know those cars when you enter, your perfume still remain intact when you come down. So they sold it and they sent the money to my account. It was running in tens of millions. Then the Lord says, that car I told you is a seed, but so I took the money and I went to pay for hall and I got the sounds, some of the sounds we will need, even though we still have some needs that the money cannot cover. So we've exhausted nothing less than 14 million, and we have not done what we want to do. Now that 14 million on a normal day, if you wake me up from sleep and say, "The Lord says," I'll say, guess what? Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. I am standing before a gate. It's a season of transition. You see? It will look like you lost a car. Inside that new realm. Eh? Just the way inside one seed of corn. Eh? Are many other corn. This is what a seed is. The power of a seed is that it has capacity to recreate itself. This is why nobody have stressed anybody here and say, "Bring one naira, we want to rent a hall." Nobody have disturbed anybody. God will first test you whether this thing you are saying, "Lord, we partner, Lord, we take over." He wants to see whether your own heart, whether you desire His agenda the way it's in your lip. Now people will go and sit down in that hall and they'll be taking AC and be enjoying the amenities and say, who said there's no God? Now my eye did not clear until my account balance remained zero. That was where one cold air now started catching me, and now started asking myself, what did I do? I believe in this assignment. I believe God wants to gather the nations. I told some of the workers, the days are coming when people will travel from different parts of the country, of the world, to come and attend our conferences. We would put Kaduna on the map. I am telling you, God will gather the attention of nations to this very space where nobody wants to come to. This, you just stay with God. Stay here. Some of you, after today, you will need to partner with God to show that you too, you are interested in that great destiny. You think God will do all the work while you are sleeping? No. The rain that will fall from the heaven, the earth must release water. This year, I lie not under heaven. For more than 4 occasions, I've emptied my account for individuals who couldn't even say thank you. I was telling my brother here this afternoon, I've learned a very, very terrible lesson. The more you be a blessing to a people, the more entitled they become. The first thing the carnal heart thinks is that if he can give me this, imagine what he has hidden somewhere. And they don't know that you actually bled. You gave your all. When you hear some people's story, you will ask yourself, but this person is in serious challenge. Me, I don't have this kind of challenge. Let him use this one that I have first. Maybe when he's resting, before I have my own challenge, I will have. That is the heart that gave. The average man will say, imagine what is somewhere else, if this one can go. No thank you. No single thank you. And sometimes your heart will want to become bitter. God will say, no, stay at it. We will travel sometimes. The hazard we go through. There was a meeting you and I went to, and they brought food for me. They brought my food. They tie one soup inside one Santana leather. One small draw soup in one Santana leather with a funny something like that. I said, Jesus, what is this? So I saw it. I asked James, "Is this our meal?" He said, "Yes." The other day we went somewhere. They just, rumple one indomie anyhow. You can just see it. Have you seen cold indomie before? It sticks together. It looks like two. when you are true, and then you cry, Jesus. There are days from the meeting before you get home, the whole honorarium they give you has finished because of the pressing need, this one, that one, this, and no gratitude. When Satan sees that, hey, Kai, Satan, every anointing has a covenant. There is something sustaining every anointing. There are people here, don't lose your good heart, never. It's your good heart that is the secret of your rising. No matter how much, what Satan is trying to attack is the covenant. Because he cannot bring you down until they investigate what covenant is powering this one. This is what the Philistines camped around for long, trying to understand what is the secret of this man's anointing. So they were inquiring by different means. The first area of their search, what is the secret of this covenant? Let's break that secret. Once we break it, we know you'll be vulnerable. Delilah, ask him what is the secret of his strength. Let me ask you a question. If you have a friend or a fiancé that is always asking you, what is the secret of your strength? You now told the person a lie, and the person now went and used that lie and almost killed you. You woke up and see that they used that lie to try to bring you down. What are you still doing with that person? You say, if they tie me with fresh rope that you cut from a fresh growing palm, I will not be able to do anything. I'll be weak. Then you open your eye the next morning. All your body has been tied. With that same thing you said. Then they now experiment and say, something, the Philistines be upon you. Because that is the plan. The Philistines were hiding. You now stand up and cut the thing. You are still with the person. Hi, Jesus Christ. You see, if I am the one, from that first day that I told you one lie secret, and I opened my eye when I woke up, I saw that they have used that secret against me. No. I will not even tell you the relationship is over. I will get up with that thing that you tie on my hand like that. That's how I'll be heading home. First labor is to investigate the covenant that is keeping you. For some of you, it's your good heart that is your secret. You cannot turn back to the plight of people. Continue doing it. Continue. Don't lose it. If you lose it, they've found the covenant that keeps you. You will find out that throughout the course of your life, you will not probably be matching up with all of the demands of God per season. Huh? But you will find out that the areas of your covenant is speaking for you. One thing David had with God is the sure message of David. You and David, you go and do something together. You will die. David will live. If you and David will commit the same crime, God will kill you and leave David. Then you will be in eternity saying, but why? He has something on his head called the sure mercy of. And that thing is sustained by a broken and a contrite disposition that he has before God. David was always a baby before God. When David wanted to dance before God, he danced until his skirt fell and he became naked. He was still dancing. Then his wife now said, look at how you are embarrassing yourself. He said, I am dancing before God. I must finish this. I'll just tell you the things. I'll not. Number three, the third way to open doors is the law of seed time and harvest. If you are writing, write Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, and write Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 as the text quickly. Then before we go, we are going now. Three ways to maximize open doors. Number one, mentorship. Mentorship. A mentor is a person who would guide you to enter and remain in a new realm. A mentor is a person who will guide you to enter number one, and number two, to remain in a new. It's not just enough to enter a new experience. Can you remain? Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 is our text. It says, follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Number two, on the ways to maximize open doors, erect an altar. Erect an altar. Erect an altar. If you are writing, write that down quickly. Erect an altar. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 and 10 is our text to support that. And number three, which is the third way to maximize open doors, right? Comply with the protocol within scriptural provisions. Comply with the protocol of that space within scriptural provision. Comply with the protocol of that space within scriptural provision. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, that's our text. The Bible said, when Pharaoh sent for Joseph, Joseph shaved his beard before he went to see Pharaoh, knowing fully well that Egyptians don't keep beards. It's the Hebrews that grow their beards, but Egyptians, they don't wear beards. The first thing Joseph did before he went to see Pharaoh is that he aligned to the protocol of the palace. He knows that if you must get favor in the palace, you must obey the rules of that space. Although he is a Hebrew, he refused to insist. This is how many people continue to violate protocols, and they wonder why things and seasons are not opening up for them. You are a business person, and you don't know yet that the business world has protocols. You go in front of your shop and you write, this shop belongs to Jesus. You are... Is it only Christian that should buy from you? That single act alone is a sign that you don't have understanding of the business world. Now, every non-believer, once they come near your shop and they see what you write, they'll say, well, let your Jesus be buying from you. Because although you think you are exhibiting Christianity and spirituality, it is foolishness in that space. Your faith should not be by all this write-up. Your faith should be by the fruit of your life. In that space, they should know you by your fruit. A Christian will now come to shop by 11 when people have already opened shop, and she will first be sprinkling one kind of water everywhere. People now think you are a diabolic person. Nobody comes to buy anything from you again. And you, in your mind, you are doing the sprinkling of the blood. And they say, what is this woman sprinkling like this? Let's be very careful. These are end times. It's the business world. It's human beings that sell. Just be a human being in that realm. People don't know protocols. Did you remember where Jesus was in Luke chapter 16 from verse 8 to 9, where Jesus was hailing the crooked manager for his ungodly wisdom, but Jesus hailed him. He saw that he was going to lose favor with his master. Quickly he called everybody that was owing his master, that he was the one that gave to them, and say, how much are you owing our master? Maybe the person say 500. He said, clean it. Write 250. What was he doing? He was making plan for his tomorrow. He knows that this door is about to close. Let me open several doors. You will be too grateful not to receive me when they drive me from here. You know what Jesus says? That he is wise. Because in the business world, there are many believers sitting here. They are feeling guilty to make gain. A believer went to buy something for probably 15 naira, and then the believer now called me the other day. You know the things I hear, and say, sir, I don't know. Anytime I sell it, anything above 55 or 60, I start feeling guilty. I say, go and close that shop. You are not designed to be a businessman. Just leave that place. Guilty. You will sell it for as high as you can. As high as you can. Hey. So So you now bought something 50, and you now say that your conscience is disturbing you if you add more than 5 naira on top. How many 5 naira would you make in order to regain a profit that can help you keep the business floating? So many believers, their businesses continue to fold up because they bring sentiment into that space. A Christian, it's time to write exam. You will see all kinds of sign of the cross. This, that, and then time is going. You are still doing this. The thing that is not in your head, this thing will not bring it. Every environment has protocols. Comply with the protocol of every environment and you will have favor. When Paul goes to Rome, he speaks like the Romans. He knows how to switch. In fact, he spoke once and one of the Roman leaders said, I'm almost tempted to convert because of how eloquent your speech was. He knows how to bring his reasons per occasion. Because you are a Christian fashion designer. Only one style you can sew. Oh, everything is buba. Everything. Come on. Improve yourself. See, insist on excellence or stay out of that space. If not, you will fail and you will blame God, and it's not God's fault. You see a lot of mediocrity with Christians. When the unbelievers are busy paying to do courses, to learn, a Christian will say, you know, the altar summons us. There are many Christian apprentices who go to shops where they should calm down and learn this thing well. They will go with earpiece, playing message throughout. Now, in their mind, they are spirit men. That is not the protocol of that space. Discipline is much needed. Then they stay with earpiece like this. From the old guy is busy teaching the other unbelievers who are not listening to message, and they are catching the concept. Now they have learned how to cut you. If they give you trouser, you will sew doubly. Christian. You will see a Christian, he is an apprentice for 17 years. Apprentice, he's still there. He will enter the shop like this. You'll not do like this. Oga, if you want to meditate, stay at home. Stay if you want to do business, be business minded. See, the funny things people do. Somebody goes to the office where he's supposed to be a place for work. He now enters the office and goes and close one door quietly somewhere and begin to pray in tongue, and people are hearing. Then he now say, nothing touches my priesthood. Remember Daniel in the scripture. Where did Daniel pray? It was in his house. Your office is not church. If your boss fire you, it's your fault. And you cannot call it persecution, because that space has a protocol. You are there to work. You didn't come there to start a fellowship. If you see me on a normal day, if I enter the world, it is my aura that you used to pick. Whether who is this one? Some days I'll wake up, I'll wear a face cap. There was one day I wore a sunshade and somebody saw me. The person now said, Apostle. In my mind, I said, look at this one. There is a space I'm entering. Listen, see, there are different dress codes for different places. Just imagine you want to go to the market. Eh? You now wear a suit. A bishop neck suit. Sometimes, there are different postures to take. There are people where, you see, Pastor Onu and James, you are my witness. There's a man that we had one agreement with. We finished settling the agreement verbally. Then I now came. After we have settled the agreement verbally, when he now saw where I parked, and he saw my outfit, the man now said, "No, we would, no. That agreement is no, it won't stand. You pass that level." Wisdom. Can we bow our heads wherever we are? Begin to pray quickly. I will leave a word of blessing upon us now. But pray for 1 minute. I want to bless you from the depth of my heart. I want to give you such as the Lord has given to us. One minute, please cry to God. Open the gates, oh God. Gates to my next seasons. Gates to my new phase of life. Let gates be opened. Ancient doors be opened. Destiny now. All I need from you is a resounding amen, as loud as you can. Every gate, every door resisting your change of season, resisting your expectation from coming to pass, in the name of Jesus, I command those gates be open now in Jesus' name. Barriers, resistance, embargoes in your family, in your bloodline, resisting generations even before you. I declare for your sake, let those gates be broken and shattered in the name of Jesus Christ. Every incomplete project that your ancestors tried to achieve, and they could not. May your hand build those things and complete it. Everywhere they have been limited, everywhere their effort have been frustrated, everywhere they have been stagnated, may the speed of the Lord mantle you now. You will outrun them in years and in quantum leaps in the name of Jesus Christ. Adversary standing by the gates, accusing you, resisting you, making sure that they disqualify your legitimate claim to your inheritance. Now, by the power of the Lord, by the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, I command those voices to be silenced in the name of Jesus Christ. Every voice of accusation, every voice of accusation rising and bringing strong reasons against you, we plead the blood of Jesus and we command them, be silent in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I push you into your next season in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody who have tarried on a mountain for too long, I push you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Step into your new season in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and celebrate Jesus wherever you are. To the end of our meeting, just listen to the following announcement before we go. Give me your attention. All tithers, run forward, package your offerings now. The offering basket will go around. Just cast your seed, cast your offerings. It is a legitimate principle in the kingdom to give, and it shall be given unto you. So make sure you give in understanding that God will bless your substance. Quickly, all tithers. Oh, there's no space to come forward. All tithers, just be upstanding wherever you are. Just stand up. Stand up. You don't need to come forward. There's no space. Just stand up. Package your offerings too. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all you do for us. Today we have brought substance to you to strengthen your work here on earth and to continue to facilitate the advancement of your kingdom. We pray that out of this that we have brought, you will bless and increase and multiply our storehouses even unto the overflow in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can cast your offerings and your tithes quickly. Grace of God. Tomorrow is Workers Retreat. Who is excited? Amen. Amen. On Tuesday, we will be hosting our Congress here. It's usually a very amazing time in the presence of God. If you have not made out time to come for Congress, you are really missing. Ask those of us who frequents the Congress. It is usually such a marvelous platform. So please make our time on Tuesday and come. Let's give ourselves to prayer. By the grace of God also, like you know, every Friday is an Akazo experience. And subsequently, other information will be passed across to communicate the day we will be holding the new convergence. Those interested in joining the protocol department, the ushering department, and the sanctuary cleaning department, please, I want the head of protocol to be upstanding, the head of the ushering team also. Please wave your hands wherever you are. Wave your hands. Good. This is the head of the protocol, and Brother Edachi at the back is also the head of the ushering department. So please, we need capable hands to make themselves available for the work of the Lord because of our labor in Banawa and the new space we are operating at. It's a very large space. It can sit up to 2,000 people. So it is important that we have more of us make ourselves available for the work of the Lord. We will be hosting a lot of people. By the grace of God, soon, once we begin to use that venue, our usual Anakazo meetings will be like solemn assembly. So it is important that we gather good capacity to serve that number of people who traffic that space. So please, you have been coming, you have been blessed. Don't just be satisfied being, you know, a floor member. Put your hands to the plow with us. Be a part of this amazing family. Join one of these units. The protocol team is up, of course, to receive you. The ushering team is also available to receive you, and the sanctuary cleaners are also very, very much happy to receive you. God bless you as you do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Good news. Hallelujah. The Worshippers Cafe 5.0 is here by the grace of God. On Sunday, this Sunday by 3 p.m., we would be converging in this hall for Worshippers Cafe 3.0. Who is excited? Please, I'm begging you now on time. Come early. If you don't come early, you will sit somewhere outside the fence. Because Please come early. Come very early. So that, you know, the husbandmen will be the first partakers. Huh? Worshippers Cafe is a vision the Lord has given to our brother, God's servant, Minister Chris King. And he had run it successfully for 5 consecutive years. So this is the 5th edition. Of course, that's what accounts for the 5.0, you know, that we have making reference to. So it is such a marvelous convergence. We've had many erudite graces like Owe Abutu, you know, and the likes of Caleb David, you know, many other very refined names who have graced that platform. This year is such an amazing one. So please clear your schedules on Sunday and let's converge here and lift up the banner of our King and glorify His name forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. On Saturday and Sunday is also another conference called the Ablaze Women Conference, holding in Ebonyi State by the grace of God. We will try to make it for a day, and by the grace of God, we know it will be great. So if you are around Ebonyi State, this is me telling you that we will try and honor one day. I will come for one day and God will be glorified. Amen. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Amen. Alright, we have come to the end of our meeting. I love you guys. Go and prosper.